Study Kit is available from your local bookstore.
美语三级跳，
各位听众大家好，今天我们为您播出美语三级跳节目音乐单元的终极课程。喜欢流行乐的 Ernie 和酷爱嘻哈乐的 Beth 打算要组个乐队。
Today they're discussing what kind of music their band should play.
Ernie, I'm really excited about starting this band together. We're going to be the two coolest students on campus.
I know, it's going to be great. But what kind of music do you think we should play?
That's a good question. You know, I love hip-hop, so maybe we can play some Vanilla Ice songs.
Vanilla Ice? I know his most famous song, Ice Ice Baby.
Ice Ice Baby.
But I don't know his other songs.
That's okay. You can buy his songs on iTunes and listen to them.
I sit back with my brand new adventure.
Winnie, what does Beth think will happen if she and Ernie start a band?
她说啊，组了乐队，他们就变成学校最酷的两个人了。哎，不过啊，说实话，我可不这么觉得哎。他们要唱 Vanilla Ice 的歌，他的歌早就过时了。
Well, Vanilla Ice was a popular rapper in the 1990s. I'm sure he still has fans today, like Beth.
Well, I've never downloaded music before. How does it work?
You haven't? If you've never tried it, I can show you how.
All right, but why is downloading music better than buying CDs at the store?
Downloading music is really fast and convenient, and you can preview all the songs before you buy them.
So Winnie, why does Beth like downloading music?
她说啊，从网上下载歌曲又快又方便，还可以在购买前 preview 试听一下。不过 Ernie 居然说他从来没有下载过音乐，天哪！难道他一直住在火星上吗
？Yeah, even old people know how to download music these days. Let's see if Ernie can catch up.
That sounds pretty good, but isn't downloading music illegal?
Not if you pay for it. For example, if you download from iTunes and pay with your credit card, it's legal.
Okay, I'm gonna get iTunes and download some Vanilla Ice songs.
Awesome! You'll see that they are really catchy.
Professor Bowman, 他们说这些歌很 catchy, 这是什么意思啊?
You can say a song is catchy if it's fun and easy to listen to, and you want to hear it all the time.
哦,就是好听,上口的意思咯。
Exactly. Sometimes a catchy song can get stuck in your head,
不过啊，我觉得 Vanilla Ice 的歌可没有这种魔力耶。
Now that we know what kind of music we will play, we have to decide what each of us will do.
Well, I love hip-hop dancing, so I should probably dance. Do you know how to rap?
Oh, yeah, I'm a great rapper, and I know all the Vanilla Ice lyrics by heart.
Ice, ice, baby.
All right, stop.Collaborate and listen. Ice is back with my brand new invention. It's something. Grabs a hold of me tightly. Flow like a harpoon daily and nightly. Will it ever stop? Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow.
Excellent. I'll start practicing my dance moves.
两人一唱一跳跟真的似的。可是我对他们实在没信心哎。
Well, you never know. Maybe they will be really good and surprise you. But Winnie, do you know what song lyrics are?
当然知道啊 ,lyrics 就是歌词。不过 ,to know the lyrics by heart, 那是什么意思呢
?That means you have memorized them.
原来 ,to know something by heart, 就是记住熟练于心的意思。
But Ernie, we're still missing something. We need someone to play the music.
Oh, right. You know, my friend Eric is a DJ. Maybe he would like to play with us.
Does he have a good ear for hip-hop music?
Well, I don't know, but we can find out. We can talk to him and ask him if he wants to join our group.
Well, Winnie, can you guess what it means to have an ear for a kind of music?
Sure. 这就是说啊，对某种音乐有天生的感觉和才华。唉，真希望 Eric 能让这两个人清醒点，帮他们啊选几首好歌。
Let's hope so. Tune in next time to find out.
各位听众，这次的美语三级跳节目就播送到这里，感谢您的收听，下次再见。
Hi, I'm Max.
Hello.My name is Kathy. Welcome to New Dynamic English.
听众朋友们好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听新动态英语。
New Dynamic English is a basic English language course and an introduction to American people and culture.
新动态英语是一套以美国人和美国文化为题材的美国英语基础课程。通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，首先是第一课。在这一课中，我们复习了过去同一些嘉宾进行访谈的录音。我们首先请听众通过下面的录音和我们的老师 Max 一起回想这位嘉宾是谁。
Okay, Max, listen to this conversation from one of our past shows. Who is the guest? He's talking about his vacation last summer.
My friend Tony and I went to Santa Fe.
Santa Fe?
Yes, Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Where did you stay? Where did you stay in Santa Fe?
We stayed in a small hotel.
What did you do in the evening?
We went out to dinner. We ate in a lot of wonderful restaurants.And one night, we went to the opera.
Okay, so they went to Santa Fe and they stayed in a small hotel. They, went out to dinner in the evening, and one night they went to the opera. I think I know who it is, but I'd like to hear a little more.
Sure. Let's listen to our guest talk about his work history. When did you become a professional photographer?
In 1972.In 1972, I got a job at a small magazine in Denver. I worked there for, about 12 years until 1984.
Yes, now I know. He's a photographer. It's Simon. Simon Tompkins.
That's right. Simon is a photographer. He lives in Boston now, and he teaches photography at a small college. Let's take a short break. Then we'll talk with Simon by phone.This is New Dynamic English.
接下来请大家跟着老师说。
Simon is a photographer. He teaches at a small college near Boston. In 1972, he got a job as a photographer for a small magazine. He worked there for 12 years.
在听过了我们同嘉宾 Simon Tompkins 的访谈以后，我们的老师 Kathy 给 Simon 打电话进行了交谈。
Now let's talk to Simon. We're going to call him at his home in Boston. Hello, Simon.
Yes?
This is Kathy at the New Dynamic English Radio Program.
Oh, hi, Kathy. How are you?
Just fine. And you?
Oh, just fine.
What are you doing?
Oh, Tony and I were watching television, and now I'm cooking dinner.
What were you watching?
Oh, nothing much. We were watching a baseball game, but it was boring, so we turned it off.
What's for dinner?
Oh, just hamburgers. Nothing fancy. Hamburgers and a salad.
Well, enjoy your evening.
Thanks. It's been nice talking to you.
Goodbye.
Bye now.
接下来我们问大家几个问题。
What was Simon doing earlier in the evening? He was watching television. Was he watching a football game? No, he was watching a baseball game. What's he doing now? He's cooking dinner.
我们还复习了和另一位嘉宾的访谈录音。
Now let's listen to a recording of another guest. Listen carefully, Max. Who is it? What are you going to do this weekend? Do you have any plans?
Yes, I do. I'm going to Philadelphia.
Philadelphia? What's happening in Philadelphia?
A friend of mine is going to be in a play.
What are you going to do before the play?
We're going to eat dinner at a small restaurant near the theater.
Okay, let's see.She had plans to go to Philadelphia. One of her friends was going to be in a play.
Yes.
And she was going to have dinner before the play. Well, I know someone who is interested in drama. She's studying drama at American University here in Washington. Could I hear some more?
Okay, let's listen. How are things going?
Well, I'm going to be in a radio play next month.
A radio play?
Yes, we're going to perform it on our university radio station.
I know now. It's Pat Miller.
Right, it's Pat Miller. She's a drama student at American University. We'll call her after our break. This is New Dynamic English.
接下来请大家跟着老师说。
Why was Pat going to Philadelphia?She was going to see a play. What was she going to do before the play? She was going to have dinner at a small restaurant.
现在 Kathy 要给 Pat 打电话。
Okay, now I'm going to call Pat.
Hello?
Hello, is this Pat?
Yes, this is.
This is Kathy at New Dynamic English.
Oh, hi, Kathy. How are you?
Just fine. How was the radio play? Did it go well?
Oh, yes. It was a great success.
What are you working on now?
Well, next week we're going to do one of Shakespeare's plays. We're going to perform on campus. We were going to perform outdoors in front of the library, but they say it's going to rain all next week. So we're going to perform indoors in a small theater.
When are their performances?
They're going to be on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. I'll send you tickets if you'd like.
Oh, I'd love that. If you send 2 tickets, I'll see if Max can come too.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Let's get together after the performance.
Okay. Well, it's been great talking with you.
Same here. See you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
下面我们问几个问题。
What play is she working on now? She's working on a play by Shakespeare. Are they going to perform the play outdoors or indoors? They were going to perform outdoors, but they think it's going to rain, so they're going to perform indoors. When will the performances be? They'll be on Thursday, Friday,And Saturday nights.
本星期的第二课，我们继续通过回顾过去同一些嘉宾进行访谈的录音，复习过去所学课程的主要内容。首先，我们听了和第一位嘉宾的采访录音，让大家猜他是谁。
Okay, Max, listen to this conversation. Which guest is it? Let's listen.Did your kids enjoy their visit to the museum?
Oh, yes. They saw lots of interesting things.
What did they like best?
They liked the dinosaurs best.
Well, Max, who is it?
Let's see. She took her children to a museum.
Yes, she has 2 children.
Can I hear some more?
Yes. Let's listen to our guest answer the question, Why did the dinosaurs die?
Well, some dinosaurs died from the cold. Other dinosaurs died because they didn't have enough to eat.
Why didn't they have enough to eat?
You see, most dinosaurs ate plants. Plants need heat and light. When the earth became cold and dark, many plants died. And when the plants died, the dinosaurs didn't have enough to eat, and they died.
She knows a lot about dinosaurs. Is she a scientist?
No, she isn't. She works in a law firm.
A law firm? Can I hear some more? Something about her personal life.
Okay, let's listen to her talking about cooking.
Good.
Who does most of the cooking at your house?
I do. My husband does the shopping, and I do most of the cooking. As you know, I'm blind, so it's not easy for me to do the shopping, but I'm a very good cook.
Oh, it's Denise. Denise Collins. She likes to cook. She works in a law firm, and she's blind.
Yes, it's Denise Collins. After our break, we'll call her at home.
Great.
Now let's take a short break. This is New Dynamic English.
听说练习.
Why did the dinosaurs die?
Some dinosaurs died from the cold. Others died because they didn't have enough to eat.
Kathy 给 Denise Collins 打电话。
Now let's call Denise.
Great.
Hello?
Hello, Denise. This is Kathy. Kathy at New Dynamic English.
Kathy, how nice to hear from you.
How are you?
Not bad, but my daughter Kristen isn't feeling well.
Oh, that's too bad. What's the matter?
Oh, she has a bad cold, so she stayed home from school today.
Did you go to work?
Yes, I did, but my husband stayed home with Kristen.
Well, I hope she feels better soon.
Thanks, Kathy. It's been nice talking with you.
Same here. Take care.
Goodbye.
Bye.
接着我们问几个问题，请大家在铃响以后回答。
Who isn't feeling well? Denise's daughter, Kristen, isn't feeling well. What's the matter? She has a cold. Did Kristen stay home from school today? Yes, she did. Did Denise stay home from work today? No, she didn't, but her husband did.
下面我们复习同另一位采访嘉宾访谈的录音。
Now let's listen to our next guest.
Okay.
I ride my bike to work.
Really?
Yes, it's much cheaper than driving a car, and it's faster than taking the bus. It's great exercise, too, and it's much better for the environment.
Okay. He rides his bike to work. He thinks it's cheaper, faster, and better for the environment. Can I ask, what city does he live in?
He lives in San Francisco.
Oh, I think I know who it is. Can I hear some more?
Sure. Let's listen to him talk about his childhood. What was it like growing up in the South?
Well, Atlanta is a great city. And for an African-American family like ours, it was a great city to grow up in. We lived in a small house in a nice neighborhood. Some of our neighbors were African-American, and some were white.
Yes, he grew up in Atlanta. He lived in a small house in a nice neighborhood. His family is African-American. It's Mike. Mike Johnson.
Yes, it's Mike Johnson. We'll call him at his office after our break. This is New Dynamic English.
听说练习。
Mike grew up in Atlanta. He lived in a small house in a nice neighborhood. His family was African American.
下 下面我们要打电话给 Mike Johnson.
Okay, now I'm going to call Mike.
Hello, Stagecoach Bank.
Can I please speak to Mike Johnson in the loans department?
Yes, one moment, please.
Loans department, Mike Johnson speaking.
Hello, Mike.
Yes?
This is Kathy at New Dynamic English. Sorry to bother you at work.
Oh, no problem. I was just reading my email. I wasn't with a customer. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm just calling to say hi. We were listening to recordings from your visits to our show, and we wanted to know how you were doing.
Well, I'm doing fine. Work is going well, and this weekend I'm going on a long bike ride with some friends.
Well, I won't keep you. Have fun this weekend.
Thanks. Nice talking with you.
Same here. Bye now.
Bye.
接下来请大家跟着老师说。
What was Mike doing? He was reading his email. How's he doing? He's doing fine. How's his work going? It's going well. What's he going to do this weekend? He's going on a long bike ride with some friends.
本星期的第三课是今天的重点。通过采访我们这个节目的 Max Wilson 老师，复习我们过去学习的一些表达方式。
Our guest today is Max. Okay, let's begin with some basic information. We all know your first name, Max. What's your last name? What's your family name?
Wilson. My full name is Max Wilson.
Where were you born, Max?
I was born in Portland, Portland, Oregon.
Did you grow up in Portland?
Yes, I did.
Where did you go to school?
I went to high school in Portland, and then I went to college in San Francisco.
Do your parents still live in Portland?
Yes, they do, but they are thinking about moving. They don't like the weather in Portland.
It rains a lot in Portland, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. My parents want to move somewhere warm and sunny.
You live in Washington, D.C. now, don't you?
Yes, I do. I moved here with my family from San Francisco. I moved here last year.
Tell us about your family, Max.
Well, my wife's name is Karen, and our son's name is John.
How old is John?
He's 8 years old.
And what does your wife do? What does Karen do?
She's a computer programmer. She works for a small computer company in Maryland.
Does she like her job?
Yes, she likes it very much.
Okay, let's take a short break.And then we'll ask Max some more questions. This is New Dynamic English.
接下来请大家跟着老师说。
Max was born in Portland, Oregon. He grew up in Portland. He went to college in San Francisco.Last year, Max moved to Washington, D.C. His son John is 8 years old. His wife Karen is a computer programmer. She works for a small computer company.
这一节我们继续采访 Max 老师。
We're back with our special guest, Max Wilson. Max, let's talk a bit about your daily schedule. How does your day usually begin?
Let's see. I usually get up around 6:30 or so. I eat breakfast and read the paper. And I help John get ready for school.
Do you drive John to school?
Not usually.Usually Karen drives John to school, and I pick him up in the afternoon. But today...
What happened today?
Well, Karen is out of town, so I had to drive John to school. I got up earlier than usual, at 6:15. John was already awake. While John was getting dressed, I took a shower and I had a cup of coffee.
Did you eat breakfast?
Yes, I did. John and I ate breakfast together.
Our guest is Max Wilson. We'll talk more after our break. This is New Dynamic English.
听说练习.
What time does Max usually get up? He usually gets up around 6:30. What time did he get up this morning? He got up at 6:15. Does he usually eat breakfast? Yes, he does. He usually eats breakfast and reads the paper. Did he eat breakfast this morning? Yes, he did. He and John had breakfast together. Who usually drives John to school? Karen usually drives John to school. Who drove John to school this morning? Max did. He drove John to school because Karen is out of town.
介绍了他的工作经历.
We're back with our guest, Max Wilson. Let's talk a little about your work history. What were you doing in San Francisco before you moved to Washington?
I was working for a radio station.
And before that? Before that, what did you do?
I was a businessman. I worked for a computer company in San Jose, south of San Francisco. That's where I met my wife, Karen.
How did you like your work?
Well, I liked some parts of it. I enjoyed talking to customers, and the salary was very good.
What didn't you like about the job?
I had to make a lot of business trips, so I was away from home quite a bit. I missed my wife and family. I decided to look for a different job, a job where I didn't have to travel.
What kind of job did you look for?
Well, when I was in college, I worked at the college radio station. I liked that job a lot, and I was pretty good at it. So I applied for a job at a radio station in San Francisco, and I got the job.
Our guest is Max Wilson. We'll talk more after our break. This is New Dynamic English.
接下来请大家跟着老师说.
What were you doing? What were you doing in San Francisco? What were you doing in San Francisco before you moved to Washington?
I was working. I was working for a radio station. I was working for a radio station in San Francisco.
这一节我们结束对Max老师的采访。
We're talking with our special guest, Max Wilson. Max, you traveled a lot when you were a businessman.
Yes.
Did you go to foreign countries, or did you mostly stay in the U.S.?
Most of my travel was within the United States, but I sometimes went to foreign countries.
Do you speak another language besides English?
Well, I speak a little French. I studied French in high school and college, but when I travel, I speak English most of the time. Today, English is the most important language for international business. If you want to work in international business, you need to study English.
That's certainly true. I hope that our radio show, New Dynamic English, will help people to improve their English language skills.
I hope so, too.
Thank you for talking with us today, Max.
Thank you, Kathy. I really enjoyed it.
Now let's take a short break. This is New Dynamic English.
这星期的新动态英语就播讲到这里。同时，新动态英语广播课程到此也全部播讲完毕了。谢谢诸位收听，请各位听众从明天起在同一时间收听商务通英语。Well,
our time is up. Thank you for listening to New Dynamic English. This is Kathy.
And this is Max.
Good luck in your English studies.
Goodbye.
For further study, A new Dynamic English Study Kit is available from your local bookstore.
好，欢迎收看美国之音的时事大家谈，我是林峰。世界卫生组织上个星期修改了新冠疫情的时间顺序，称最先向其通报疫情的并非是中国政府，而是世界卫生组织自己在中国的办事处。世卫组织表示，该组织的中国办事处在去年12月31号得到了武汉发现不明原因肺炎病例的信息，并分别在1月1号和2号两度向中国寻求信息，但是中国当局直到1月3号才提供信息。这一新的细节再次指向北京当局可能违反了世卫组织2005年制定的国际卫生条例，也再度显示北京当局有可能在疫情爆发的初期对世界隐瞒了疫情。新冠疫情的全球大流行已经造成1130多万人感染，53万多人丧生，并重创了全球的经济。我们今天很高兴邀请到人权组织公民力量的创办人杨建立博士和独立时评人自媒体小民之心的主持人小民先生参与这个话题的讨论，我们欢迎两位。好的，那么在进入今天这个话题的讨论之前呢，我想先就这个中国啊非常知名的这个感言的这个学者，公共学者许章润教授是被警方带走这个事件呢进行一个简单的分析。那么因为批评中共最高层而遭到这个清华大学停职整肃的这个前法学教授许章润先生呢，他是在星期一的时候被这个警察从家中带走，那么引发了外界的这个强烈的关注。那么我想首先来请这个杨建立博士来就这个事件呢进行一个点评。杨博士。
好，许章润被带走这个事件我们非常的关注。我们知道许章润先生是这几年来中国知识分子最勇敢的生命，而且有很高的这个号召力在中国。那尤其是在习近平修宪啊改掉这个任期制，把这个国家主席变成终身制以后，他的声音变得非常的这个强大。他这个在2018年的7月份啊，发表了批评习近平的文章。在那以后不久，在2019年这个初，他就被停止停课，而且这个受到各种的骚扰。这次疫情发生以后，他发表了这个非常严厉的批评习近平的文章，这个大家都知道。而在这个两会开会期间呢，他又发了一篇文章，就是说他在发第二篇文章的时候，是在限制在家里。限制他的自由的时候发表的，这就说明他根本没有屈服于强权，继续的这个发声。那中共也是因为这个原因，他害怕许章润的声音啊，产生更大的效应。而且许章润现在不仅仅他成为一种这个批评的声音，而且他成为一种道德良心的声音，这也是中共所惧怕的。所以在带走他的时候，给他的罪名是嫖妓，也就是污名化他。让他道德上没有高地，让他道德上没有感召力，这是共产党这个一种无底线的一种这个迫害，这个感言的知识分子一种做法，我们感到非常的愤怒。
好的，谢谢杨先生。那么接下来这个请这个小民先生来点评一下这个事件啊，您怎么看这个事件的这个这样一个走这样一个发展？
好的，刚才杨建立博士谈到了许教授的许多的情况，这个我就不多说了。那么许教授其实他早就对这个情况有心理准备，有报道说许教授很早就准备好了什么牙刷的衣服了，挂在门口随时准备去坐牢了。这个情况坦白的讲，许教授坐牢这件事情，我想很多人都有精神准备， 但是中共以这种卑鄙的方式来抓许教授，这个可能超出了很多人的想象，也就是中共的下流和无底线，确实。当然，这里边可能还有一个我需要提醒的一点，就是说中共是不是真的敢正式用这个罪名来抓许教授，现在还在未定之中。就是我们现在不敢再确定他是不是真的敢这样说，他只不过是可能是威胁一下许教授太太，他真的日后应该用这个罪名来，是不是还这样？我们这个情况还要等以后再说。
好的。
那这里边有一个，我再说一句话，就是说许教授现在实际上是求人得人，许教授根本不在乎被中共抓捕，中共抓捕只能让许教授成全许教授。谢谢。
好的，谢谢。那么我们先接下来就进入这个新冠肺炎疫情这个讨论啊。那么这个世界卫生组织上个星期是公布了一份最新的这个时间表啊，根据这个时间表，这个世卫组织这个是驻中国的办事处啊，从这个武汉市的这个卫健委网站上是获得了这个说武汉发现这个病毒性肺炎这个病例。那么同时呢，世界卫生组织也从这个美国的国际流行病监视网络 ProMed 这个网站上是发有一篇这个报道，新闻报道是获得了这个说这个武汉发现一批这个不明原因这个肺炎的病例的消息。然后呢，他们是向这个中国政府寻求这个信息，并表示是愿意提供这个协助。但是中国政府是到了1月3号才向世界卫生组织提供相关的信息。我想首先请教杨建立先生，就是您怎么解读世卫组织修改这份时间表？能不能从这个细节上面来得出这个中国在疫情爆发初期啊，是不是有可能这个隐瞒了疫情这样的一个结论呢？
很显然，在疫情爆发的初期，中国政府隐瞒了疫情，啊，尤其是和这个世界卫生组织的互动，更能说明这个问题。它不仅是隐瞒疫情，而且误导世界。那世界卫生组织它在没修改这个时间线记事的时候，也是模模糊糊的讲了，就是2019年啊12月31日得知武汉发生疫情，得知就不是报告，或者是报告，或者不是报告。所以我们在做我们的大国战役的时候，已经注意到这个细节，然后进行了这个各种推敲。而且我们发现，中国据我们查到资料所知，就是智持是在12月27日已经对基因组测序得出结果，知道它是类 SARS 的一种这个病毒。按照世界国际卫生条例，它应该在24小时向世界卫生组织这个报告。但是，就算是12月31日，中国政府向世界卫生组织报告，也已经违反了国际卫生条例。更何况，现在世界卫生组织也出来澄清了，他所谓的得知，并不是中国政府报告。在中国政府的官媒中，他所谓的给世界卫生组织报告疫情第一次是1月3号，就刚才主持人所讲1月3号。那在这期间发生了什么呢？是这个台湾向世界卫生组织报告疫情。台湾是怎么知道呢？台湾是一个疾控这个中心，它不叫疾控中心，它叫疾病控制署啊，管制署啊，也就是我们说的疾控中心的一个官员，在网络上偶然发现了武汉这个12月31日凌晨3点钟发出的那个第一次的通报，然后他又在网上搜集了各种信息，包括发现了李文亮医生发出的那种信息，他马上认为情况非常严重。台湾是 SARS 的这个重灾区，2003年的时候 SARS 重灾区，非常敏感，马上就给这个上级报告，当天就给世界卫生组织发了这个电邮报告，说是在武汉发生了不明原因的肺炎，有可能会人传人，因为他已经发现是隔离治疗了，隔离治疗传染病嘛，传染病就是人传人。这是当时台湾给世界卫生组织所报的内容，而世界卫生组织根本没有理会，也没把这个信息给其他国家进行分享。那你从时间上来算，他凌晨3点钟发出的东西，这位官员他可能是在早晨很早发现了，马上就这个通报了世界卫生组织。那说欧洲它的时间是非常晚的，它比这个比台湾的时间要晚，所以他说12月31号得到的信息，如果是北京那个他的办公室给他的话，那是内部通报，不叫报告啊，不叫他内部得知， 而不是说报告。如果是同属一个国家的级别的给他报告的话，那第一个就是台湾。那为什么他不敢说是台湾呢？
他不好意思说，我认为。
那要怎么好意思讲呢？他和那个中共一直配合啊，把台湾拒之在世界卫生组织的门外啊。那这个第一个给他报的是台湾，而且台湾现在的防疫的成绩全世界第一，这个世界卫生组织是不好意思讲的，第一次得到报告是台湾，所以我们有证据研判，我们认为第一个给世界卫生组织报告的是台湾。而在当天，他在北京的世界卫生组织在北京的这个办公室也得到了信息，但是得到这个信息恐怕也是在网络上得到，根本不是中国政府报告的。所以中国政府报告最早是2019年1月3日，已经严重的违反了国际卫生条例，而更严重的是，他报告的信息只是说在武汉发生了不明原因的肺炎。那时候基因组的测序已经出来了，那时候他根本没有分享。在那期间，有很多的生物研究所、医院已经有排序，好多都把这个测序测出来了，但是中国一直没有跟世界卫生组织分享。一直到了1月12日，那个是因为上海的一个研究团队把这个测序的结果放在这个公共平台上，世界卫生的公共平台上，而从公共平台上世界卫生组织得到了这个信息，中国政府已经没法隐瞒了，所以在第二天1月12日才跟世界卫生组织分享了基因组的测序结果。这就是事实，这是我们这个在我们刚刚出版的《大国战役》里面都有非常清楚的描述。
好的，谢谢杨博士。小林先生，您对这样的一个细节啊，您的看法是什么？就是说它能不能指向说这个中国政府在这次疫情爆发的初期啊，存在这个隐瞒疫情的这样一个事实呢？
这个应该说是毫无疑问的了。我们就是说从一些最公开的信息来看，是最早的信息是在去年的12月30日晚上，那么武汉市是卫生健康委员会的正式文件，有两份文件被在放在网上了，这个谁放的我们现在还不知道，但是这个已经足以说明很大的问题。这个文件清楚地写着上级如何如何指示，这也就是说发现疫情的时间肯定要早于去年的12月30日，因为下级报告上级，上级在批复，这中间肯定有一个时间过程。那么即便是一天的时间，那么也在12月29日，他们就发现了，甚至应该说是更早，这大我们都知道，实际上最早的时候大概12月10日就已经发现了。那么另外，李文亮医生在当天的下午，也就是12月30日下午，在微信群上转发了这个信息，就是说华南海鲜市场确诊了7例SARS，而且他还放上了一个非常重要的什么，就是病人的这种肺部的透视的光片 ，X 光片放上去了，所以这个消息就不得了了。那么，因为这个非常专业的，这显然不是一般的这种啊，就是说风闻或者这个听到哪儿消息，这个是一个非常专业的透露的信息，足以让很多专业人士一看就知道这个情况非常严重。而李文亮医生得到的消息是来自武汉中心医院急诊科主任艾芬，就是那个要知道这情况老子到处说，就那位女士，她得到的这个确诊消息当时已经确定了是和 SARS 非常相似的冠状病毒，也就是说在12月30日这个消息已经在网上开始流传了，而世卫组织实际上是在7月1日两天以后他才在网上发现了这个消息，而且是他们自己设在中国的办公室发现这个消息的，而中共当局是在1月3日在正式上报的。就是说这个里边仅仅从这些公开的消息就可以看出了中共当局绝对的隐瞒了这个重要事实，而且问题还在于世卫组织为中共当局的背书，这个情况严重的误导了国际社会。谢谢。
谢谢小明先生。杨金林博士，就是我想请教您，为什么就是世界卫生组织要现在要修改这个时间表？因为之前我们知道，他之前也发布过这个类似的信息，那之前第一次发布的时候没有说到底是谁通报的，而现在他就是说这个通报的是这个世卫组织自己在这个中国的办事处，而不是中国政府。那为什么世卫组织会有这样的一个动作呢？
我觉着世卫组织面临着很大的压力啊，大家的追责声不断，因为非常明显，在疫情爆发的初期，中国政府隐瞒真相，误导全世界。而刚才小明先生也讲了，世界卫生组织在配合他，那主要是谭德赛在配合他，这个配合这个欺骗世界、误导世界，这里边还需要有很多的调查，调查出真相来。但已经非常明显了啊，这个谭德赛在这里边扮演了一个非常不光彩的一个角色，所以国际社会对世界卫生的追责是肯定要进行的。那在他内部也有很多分歧，包括刚才我说的，这个1月2号，2022年1月2号，12号，中国政府才给分享了英组的特训的那件事情，就是他内部会议的记录，啊，由美联社得到以后披露的，啊，就是说在那在十二号之前，根本他没有得到中国政府分享的任何必要信息，即使中国政府已经有很多的研究所已经把基因组的测序得出结果来了，都没有给世界卫生组织分享，这就是世界卫生组织内部暴露出来的禁忌，这说明里边分歧也很大，所以面临着这种追责的压力，那世界卫生组织还要开始不断的修正他自己的记录，不然的话问题会非常非常大啊。这种修正呢，啊，一方面我觉着是对的，另一方面也进一步的来证实了当时我们所讲的很多的这个猜测，包括台湾这个报告给世界卫生组织这件事情，中国的叫中共国台办的发言人，在4月份的时候出来专门讲过一次，这个发言人叫朱凤莲，他说啊，这个什么是这个台湾给世界卫生组织报，你有什么信息啊？你的信息不过就是我从我们这拿的嘛，你怎么可能有信息？是啊，他的台湾的信息是从中国这个拿到的，因为他本身没有这个新冠病毒的病例，他怎么会有直接的信息呢？而他在网络上发现了信息以后，负责任的向世界卫生组织报告，所以朱凤莲的那个说法恰恰证明了，第一，台湾是负责任的，第二，台湾就是报了，台湾报的还是中国的信息，你中国有信息还拖了那么久没有报，所以从这一点上来讲呢，就是说坐实了中国政府当时就是给世界卫生组织进行隐瞒，而在隐瞒的过程中呢，我们发现世界卫生组织的总干事谭德赛一直在为中国政府开脱，不断的表扬中国政府，严重的误导了世界。
好，谢谢杨博士。小明先生，就是世卫组织自己有一个解释，他有一个解读，就是说这个根据这个最新公布的这个时间表，他说这个各国政府有24到48小时的这个时间进行这个核实，那么而且这个信息是不断的进行这个更正的，这样是有这样的一个解释。那么您认为这样的一个解释站得住脚吗？那实际的情况是不是这样的？就是，而且还有就是，刚才我问杨建立博士的一个问题，就是为什么现在世卫组织要在现在这个时间点上进行一个修改？
好的，我先说您第二个问题，就是他在这个目前的时间点上修改这个日志，修改他这个记录，应该说他是在，尽量的在摆脱责任，来，就是说，因为有些事实他是无法掩盖的，所以他在逐渐的在洗。就是和中共当局在做一个切割，在摆脱自己的洗白自己。那么这个时间表我们知道，它类似于军舰和海轮上的航海日志，这个应该有非常严格的规定，一般情况下是绝对不允许修改的。类似还有银行的这种进出入账记录，这个都是当时的第一手情况，是不允许修改的，你是多少就是多少。那么它关系到了这个很重要的一些事情和关键性指标的，为了以后判断情况，比如判断轮船舰艇的状态，指挥的过程中的是否正确，这有关键性的作用。所以这个记录它是记录当时发生的重大事件，它不存在什么更新的问题。所以这个它不是说后边的总结，而是你记录的都是当时发生的事情，发生过就是发生了，没发生就是没发生。所以世卫组织这个说法是无法令人信服的，而且关键问题在于他们并不是几个月后才得到的消息，而是他们当时得到的消息，是消息来自什么部门他都非常清楚，他们故意的含糊的记录这个情况，所以这是很不正常的， 这说明他们当时确确实实做了非常不准确的记录和表达，而这个不准确和不真实是故意的。所以说他们有这种主观上的替中共掩饰的这种作用，或者说这个目的，然后在国际压力之下，现在不得不做了一些更正和修改。谢谢。
好的，谢谢您。那杨经理博士，就是我们注意到就是在上个月的这个6月17号的时候，这个中共这个主管外交事务的这个政治局委员杨洁篪是到美国的夏威夷跟美国的国务卿蓬佩奥呢有一个会晤。那么当时呢，我记得当时这个根据媒体报披露出来的这个信息和细节啊，就是说，杨洁篪表示，就是说这个关于这个美中第一阶段贸易协议的落实情况，他说呢，说双方都要这个创造条件。那么有人解读就是说这个就是后续也有媒体报道说呢，就是他的这个意思就是说美国方面不要在这个中共认为敏感的这个议题上所谓越过红线的这样一个说法。那么这样一个举动，我想请您来解读一下，就是说因为您对您这个大国这个战役号外这本书就是后面有很多的这个做了大量的这个调研工作，就是这个细节和这次这个疫情的披露，包括这个早期的这种这个被外界指责中的这个中共处理这个疫情失当有什么样的联系，您跟我们来分享一下。
这件事情和疫情有关系，这是很多人没有注意到的。那这个美中第一阶段的贸易这个协定啊，本来是大家都认为是在1月第1个礼拜啊进行签署。那时候美国的这个贸易代表莱特希泽也说了，就是我们他是12月13号说的，那时候基本上已经谈妥了，好多事情和中方达成了一种这个协议了，口头协议，初步的文件也出来了，说我们会在1月第1个礼拜。签署协议，但是1月5号中方宣布，所以由于美国总统单方面的宣布签署的时间是1月15号，所以他们本来是这个当时就要离京到这个华盛顿的，要推迟才来的时间。这时候一时间呢，大家就觉得哦，是不是这个贸易决定又出问题了啊，出了很大的问题了，是不是和上次一样？到最后一秒钟，就这个根本就没有签成，大家非常的这个担心。这是1月5号发生的事情。1月6号，中国做了一件事情，就是内部启动了二级应急响应，对疫情啊。二级呢，这个应急响应呢是疾控中心启动的，内部外界根本不知情。那1月7号，中央政治局常委开会。那讨论什么问题呢？他现在也不告诉我们。而他说，这个习近平在这个会议上做了一个重要的指示，给这个什么这个应对疫情，他现在也不公布内容。但是据当时的形势来判断的话，那肯定和这个贸易有关系，和贸易肯定有关系。好，到了1月13号，也就是美国的1月14号，刘鹤带领着中国的代表团啊，来这个华盛顿了。那第二天1月15号，也是美国的14号的晚上，中国把二级应急响应提升为一级，也就是最高级的应急响应，但仍然是内部的，是疾控中心做的，外界根本不知情。他之所以把它提高至最高级，原因很简单，这个中共当局最高层及代表团都知道中国的疫情已经发展到非常严重的地步，不可能不采取最高级的内部应急响应了，要不然你干嘛要最高级啊？啊！但是对外边完全是隐瞒的。这时候啊，中国代表团就来到了美国，在前两天，这个美国的财政部长纽伦奇他说，大家不用担心，所有的翻译没有改变任何东西，这个中国的承诺。12月13号的承诺都没有改变，啊，大家不用担心。这个刘鹤代表团到了华盛顿以后，没有提出任何要求，只提了一个要求，就是说，在这个第一阶段的贸易协定上加一个条款，这个条款是什么？在发生自然灾害和不可控制的事情的时候，可以延迟 兑现义务，也就是不抗力的不可抗力条款。美国当时根本不知道中国已经发生了这么严重的疫情，也不知道他已经启动了最高级的应急响应。因为这个条款没有什么了不起的，就同意。所以刘鹤到了华盛顿以后没做任何事情，就在这个贸易协定上加了个不可抗力条款，这样双方就开始了这个第一这个阶段的贸易协定。大家回头来看，为什么杨洁篪在这个夏威夷和蓬佩奥见面的时候，他可以以这个贸易协定的执行作为要挟？本来你已经签好了，你有什么要挟的，对吧？你可以耍赖，但是耍赖你得有个理由啊。那中国不是没有耍过赖，但每次耍赖他总要找个理由，所以他实际上这里边已经埋了一个伏笔。这个伏笔是怎么埋成的呢？就是因为中国政府隐瞒了疫情，向中国民众、向世界、向美国隐瞒了疫情，骗取了第一阶段的贸易协定。到了今天，他就好像有理由可以不执行了，他可以把不执行的理由当作一种要挟进行谈判。这就是我们这本书里所发生的、所发现的一个非常重要的细节。
好的，谢谢杨博士。咱们现在就是还是关于这个美中关于在这个疫情方面的这种，就是说你说竞争也好，博弈也好，或者说这个相互的这个批评指责也好，就是我们注意到这个美国政府包括特朗普总统本人和这个国务卿蓬佩奥先生都是在这个多次在各种场合对这个北京方面早期处理疫情不当导致这个疫情在全球大流行进行这个批评。那么而这次我们知道美国是这次疫情的一个重灾区，损失惨重。那么美方的一个指责就是说这个世卫组织啊和这个北京太过于密切，导致了这个危机处理不当。那您怎么看这个世卫组织和中国的关系，以及世卫组织这次在这次疫情中它的表现？
好的，先说第一点，中共和世卫组织和中共的关系明显的很不正常，基本上每次都是在世卫组织替中共背书，中共说什么世卫组织就传什么，所以世卫组织缺乏基本的专业水准，几乎成了中共的传声筒，这是一个很大的问题。因为这样的话等于把中共的这些欺骗性的宣传，由于世卫组织的背书，这样让国际社会增加中共的这种替中共背的这种权威性，所以这样的话会严重的误导国际社会。再一个大问题就是，由于世卫组织的这种背书，导致国际社会对疫情的严重程度缺乏最基本的警惕，都认为这个病好像很容易控制，而且它的传播的速度、病毒的致命程度好像都不是值得很非常的，就是说很致命、很严重。这样的话呢，让国际社会对这个病实际上麻痹大意了，很多国家麻痹大意了。因为中国的情况给人的感觉好像这个情况很容易控制，而和国际社会很多病理专家的推断完全不一致，所以这样的话呢会严重的误导国际社会，这是我认为是最大的问题。谢谢。
嗯，好的。我想最后有一点时间，就是想再请教两位一个问题啊，就是说我们知道2003年北京爆发那个 SARS， 那么我想请两位对比一下，就是说这个两次这世卫组织在这两次疫情中它的表现怎么样？那么好像上一次这个 SARS 好像这个经过几个月之后，当然有病毒本身的原因，它就被控制住了。那么这次这个疫情越来越严重，我想先请教这个杨博士，您来简单的评述一下。
哦，这个本来啊，2003年的 SARS。是给世界一次这个非常重的教训，尤其对中国一个非常重的教训。各国这次对于疫情的反应，2003年应该是一个对照，是一个参考点。但是中国因为是这个 SARS 的主要的灾区，而且是这个源于中国，所以中国这次比2003年做的要差很多。这就说明这个体制或者现在的领导人有严重的问题，而且在 SARS 以后，中国花重金打造了中国的疾控这个中心，疾控这个系统，啊，有网络直报系统啊等等，网络直报啊等等各种系统，啊，就是他们都成为世界一流了，但是有这样的这个体制，而且做得这么差，这就说明这个中国政府的现政府、现体制是非常有问题。
好的，好的。那对不起，那由于时间关系，就不能请小明现在再进行这个评述了。那么由于时间关系啊，今天的时大家谈到这里就结束了。我们非常感谢两位嘉宾杨建立博士和小明先生的精彩发言。那么来宾的发言呢，是他代表他们个人的观点，不代表美国之音。感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再会。